Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Heart of Love radio show coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves tonight. I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. And this is Abundantly by Jay Moss. And I'll be right back.
It would be like the sky that's never sunny. It would be like the bee that can't make honey. Or maybe like the falling snow that never melts. Like always hearing of your touch, but never felt. It's like the vase that holds no flowers. Never wanna sleep without you. Never wanna wake without you. I never wanna part with life abundantly. Never take a chance without you. Cause I'll never do my best without you. I never want to leave this life abundantly.
Hallelujah.
It would be like the game that has no end. Like knowing love's behind the door you cannot enter. Like knowing
through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. My praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster buds. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. The oil.
All I need.
guys are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. And this is your host, G. Wright. You've been listening to the sounds of Robert Persons, and he blessed my soul. And before that, it was none other than C.C. Winans' Alabaster Box. Tonight's message is going to be Do Not Worry, coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I'm going to be right back after this song with All I Need by Byron Courtney Wilson. I'll be right back. This is G. Wright.
Touch from you.
afraid. Join me at the altar. God is here. God is here.
Right, and you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. That was none other than Alone But Not Alone, and that's Marvin Winans Sr. Tonight's message, if you're listening, is entitled Do Not Worry, coming out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25-34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Real quick, I want to take a break right now. I just have to tell you guys this. I just have to tell you that sometimes in life we worry about so many different things, and sometimes we worry about the wrong things. Sometimes we worry about situations that we cannot change, and we put so much energy into that we do not focus on the things that we should focus. It's amazing that Jesus in this particular scriptural passage, he says in verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Because, sometimes we think about what we're going to eat and drink. And sometimes we worry about what we're going to wear. But the question he asks is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And then he tells you this. One thing we can all look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet God feeds them. Then the question he asks, are you not more valuable than the birds of the air? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Listen, one thing about it, sometimes we worry about things and we worry. But I want to encourage you today, just as I encourage myself, that worrying will not change your situation. Worrying will not change the situation that you are facing and experiencing in your life. There's nothing that you can do to change your situation by worrying. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I just want to tell someone today that worrying will not change your life. And that's how come Jesus says, do not worry. Why? Because it is a choice. Excuse me. God gives us a choice. We can choose to trust him. We can choose to worry about what we're going to eat or drink. We can choose to worry about what we're going to wear. But I want to encourage you, we have been made in God's image, and God gives us a choice. We can choose whether or not we're going to worry or not. It is a choice. God gives us a will. God has given us all the ability to choose. Now, when he created Adam and Eve in his own image, one of the things that he told them what not to do. He told them, now, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, if God wanted robots, he could have created robots, but he created us in his image, giving us a will that we can choose. We can decide whether or not we're going to obey God. We can choose or decide whether or not we're going to trust him to do what he said he's going to do in our lives. We can choose. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. God gives us a will. I just want to tell you guys that today. God gives us a will. Just like he gave Adam and Eve. They had a will. That will really tells where your heart is. That will really, how you yield yourself, really tells how, what really are going to do and who you really are. So do not worry. It is a choice. God gives us a will. God created us in his image. Now, and God creating us in his own image, what does that have to do with worrying? We can, that helps in understanding that we can choose. If God, who's created us in his image and his likeness, can take care of animals who don't even have the things that we have, God will also take care of us because we are made in his image and in his likeness. So it is a choice. God gives us a will. God created us in his own image. And not only that, but God treasures us. God treasures us. If God can give us the things he's given us and allow us to think to have things we have, and we're going through and we're deciding to worry, we're forgetting that God treasures us. He, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we shouldn't be worrying about things that are happening around us. We shouldn't be worrying about that stuff. Or rather, we should be rejoicing in who God is in our lives. I want to encourage you today, do not worry. And I'll be right back.
So I dance like David.
Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves tonight. That was none other than Bless Me by Dave Hollister. You know, we're talking tonight about do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And we're coming out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. In verse 28, it says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. My second point tonight is this one: God knows. You know, sometimes when we're worrying, we're going through things, we forget that God knows our situation. We forget that God knows the things that we've gone through and the things that we are facing. And I'm here to let you know, someone know out there tonight, that God knows. He knows what you need him to do. He knows what things that you say, "I need," you know? You know, he knows, he knows. So look at your situation, look at yourself, look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror and say to yourself, you know, "I know that God knows about my present situation," because I think that some of you out there right now do not understand what God is saying to you about your life. You know, I've got to tell someone out there tonight that God loves you. I got to tell someone out there tonight, do not worry about your situation because God knows. I want someone out there to know that he's involved in your situation. But sometimes we feel as if we're alone. We feel as if our situation has taken precedence over everything that's happening in our lives. But I want to tell someone right now that God loves you. That God loves you. And that no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through, there's no need to worry because God's got you. He's involved in your situation. When we look at people who've gone through situations and circumstances and in their lives, when we look at the Bible patriarchs, when we look at the story of people such as Joseph, who was actually in a place where I believe that if any of us had been wrongly convicted of doing something we hadn't done and then be put into prison and jail and then blessed, and then just all the different things he's gone through, then running away for his life. You know, just imagine the things that he experienced in his life. And just imagine what he probably thought. There's no way he could deal with this situation, how he could deal with not worrying. How he could deal with not worrying. Now, just imagine what he went through, Joseph went through. And he probably thought, you know, God, I am in this situation, and this person has, you know, Potiphar's wife has accused me of trying to sexually make advancements on her, and go and have to spend jail time. Just imagine what's going on. Just imagine what's going on right now. Just imagine, you know. But I want you to understand that in the end, God worked through his situation. God has worked through the trials and the tribulations and things that he's faced. I just want to tell you, God is involved in your situation. Do not worry. Do not worry. And I know that it's better, it's easier said than done to say, I'm not going to worry. But at some point in our lives, it's a matter of saying, look, I am not going to worry. I am not going to worry. I am not going to worry about my situation. I'm not going to worry. But the one thing that Jesus is saying in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 32, he says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans run, people, unbelievers, they run after things that as far as like health, as far as all these different things, they run for all these things. They run trying to find out what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, all these different things. But Jesus is saying, don't act like them. Don't act like them. You see, guys, you see, we can choose. We can make decisions in our lives, and we can choose to go through things such as worrying. But guess what? Worrying is not going to change the situation. In fact, worrying is really like saying, God, I don't trust you to do what your word says. Worrying really says to God, you know, I'm not going to trust you to do what you said you're going to do in my life. But I want to encourage you tonight not to act like the unsaved. Don't act like those who don't know Christ. Don't act like those who, you know, who don't know and have not seen God move in their lives. And what happens is that sometimes we go through things we go through, and we tend to not remember, and we tend to forget the things that God has done. It's like going through something, and we say, "Lord, I'm believing you. What you're doing, what you're saying," and then something else happens, and then we act like those who don't know God. I mean, we've seen God move in our lives. We've seen God. I'm sure you've seen God help you in situations where you thought you could not be helped, and it saved you in situations where you thought there was no way you were going to be saved. But I want to encourage you today that God knows your situation. Don't worry. He's involved in your situation even when you think you're alone, even when you think that there's no way. God is involved in your situation. So don't act like you have not seen God move in and through your life. Then I want you guys to listen to this. I want you to see how God has moved in the lives of others. See how God has moved in your parents' lives. See how God has moved in your grandparents' lives. Throughout the history of your family, just see how God has moved in the lives of others. See how God has moved in the lives of some great men and women of faith in the Bible. You know, see how God has moved in people's lives. See how God has touched people's lives and have done things that, you know, that the normal mind would think, how is this possible? Think about how Jesus fed the 5,000. See how, you know, Jesus could have worried about how am I going to feed all these people, but he looked out on those people and he had compassion. With the five loaves and the five loaves and two pieces of fish, I'm going to find it in a minute. If I'm going to give an illustration, I need to give it correctly. But The point is this. Jesus did not worry about how he was going to feed the 5,000. He didn't worry about that. He prayed, he blessed it, and God blessed and God moved and in his life and in that situation. You know, when you look at people like Peter, you look at people like Paul, you look at people, you look at the other disciples, you see how Jesus sent them out. You see how Jesus prepared them. They didn't have any of the things that we have. They didn't have the modern technology that we have. They did not have a cell phone. But, you know, they put their trust in God. They put their trust and faith in God. I'm telling you tonight, do not worry. I want to encourage you tonight to remember who God said he is and he will be in your life. Worrying will not change your situation. It's true. It is a choice. It's true that God knows. And it's true that we need to do as it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Someone out there tonight who's listening, I want to encourage you not to seek God. I want to encourage you not to worry, but to seek God. I want to encourage you to seek God. I want to encourage you to know that God has your back. I want to encourage you that you do have a choice. You can decide to choose. You can decide to choose not to worry. You can choose to believe what God has said about your situation because God knows. And sometimes in that word, but seek first the kingdom of God, you can do the things you want to do. But if you want to do things God's way, it doesn't make a sense to worry. But seek. The word but means you got to do something different than what you're doing. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, something happens when we decide to seek God. God will change your mindset. And part of that changing your mindset is God working in your life. Part of that changing your mindset is you making a choice. I will seek God. I will seek his kingdom. And sometimes you have to do a paradigm shift. You know, if you've heard the word paradigm shift, or that phrase, when you do a paradigm shift, you look at the situation, and then you say, you know what, I can't, you know, let me look at the situation a different way. Sometimes it's about separating yourself from the way you used to do things, and then praying that God will give you a different view of your situation. Instead of looking at your situation and saying, God, why am I going through this? Look at your situation and say, God, thank you for this situation because I know that you are my Savior. I know that you are my God. I know that you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I know that you are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I know that you are Jehovah Ra. And you look at your situation and you pray, God, show me this situation through your eyes. But seek first the kingdom. Don't worry and try to seek and save yourself, because the Bible says that those who try to seek their own, you know, save their own lives are going to lose it. But those who lose it will find it. I want to encourage you today that when you worry, it goes against seeking God. It goes towards woe is me. You know, when you worry, you're thinking about self. You're not thinking about God. But God says, Jesus says in this verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The things that you are seeking will be given to you when you seek God first. And as you seek God, he will supply your needs. As you seek God, he will move in your life. I want to encourage you, just like Peter on the water, just like when Peter was walking toward Jesus. If it is you, Lord, call me to come to you. And Peter walked on water. He began to walk on water. As you seek God, he will supply your needs. And as you walk in faith, he will. But when you take your eyes off of God, when you take your eyes off of seeking the kingdom, not seeking his handouts, you guys, seeking him, God is a spirit. He is an entity. We should desire to want to seek him. We should desire to want to know him in his true fullness. We should want to. Not so much say, I'm going to seek God for the blessings. I'm going to seek God for that new job. I'm going to seek God for $1 million. I'm going to seek God for what he can do for me. How about seeking God? Seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. How about that? Because that verse says, the rest of that verse says that all these things will be given to you as well. See, what happens is that when we seek the person and we develop a relationship with the person, when we're going through situations, we're not going to be trying to focus so much on what the person can do for us. Sometimes we think that we can just go to God and just say, hey, God, I want this. And if it doesn't happen, then we're like, why did you allow us to go through this? Why did you allow us to go through this thing? And see, this is not happening the way I was expecting it to happen, and this is not happening, and that's not happening. But I want to encourage you today that as you seek God for your life, as you seek God to get to know him, that's when he's going to bless you. I want to encourage you tonight, don't worry. Don't worry about your situation. Don't worry how it's going to happen. Just know that it's going to happen. And when God opens up a door, God will open up a door that no man can close. And God can close a door that no man will open. What is for you is for you. When you think that, God, I'm at my last rope, God is saying, look to me. God is saying, look to me. And as you're seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, I want to encourage you to encourage yourself and speak to yourself in your situation. Sometimes you have to look at your situation and say, you know what? God is bigger than you. I will not worry. I didn't say your name. I'm going to say mine, G. Wright, will not worry. Because I'm going to seek first his kingdom. I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to me. So guess what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to spend time meditating on the word of God day and night. Like he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, against you. Do not worry. It doesn't make sense to worry, you guys. Worrying is the opposite of faith. As Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. When you worry, guys, it's saying, God, you're not able. But someone needs to know out there that he is able. God is able to do it. What man says is impossible, God says, with me, with man, it is impossible. But not so with man, it is impossible. With man, it is. So many things are going through my mind right now, you guys, because this word is for myself, first of all. Because, you know, just keeping it real. You know, sometimes we go through things. Sometimes we go through things. And even one thing I'm learning is that as I preach the word of God, as I as I spend time with the Word of God, as I spend time with God, you know, that I'm having to walk this thing out just like you guys. You know, I am no different than you guys. And one thing that God's saying to me, which is a word I know he's saying to you as well, is do not worry. It is a choice. God knows what we're going through. He knows what our situation, he knows. But Jesus says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, in conclusion, in verse 34, he's saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I want to encourage you, make a choice. Make a choice to believe God. Make a choice and a decision not to worry. Make a choice that you will not give in to fear and to doubt and to the things that the enemy might say to you in your life concerning your situation. And if you feel it as if there's no way that you can do this, I want to encourage you right now. If you've been worrying, I want to encourage you that you can come back home. You can come back to that place where you will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that beareth much fruit and its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper, as it says in Psalm chapter 1. You can come back home. Jesus is right here, and Jesus is saying to you, do not worry, but seek my kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying to you tonight. That's what he's saying to me. I want to encourage you that when you have given worrying the main spot in your focus, your focus is not on God. It's on fear. I want to encourage you today to turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I hope this song touches your hearts, your mind, and your life. And I'll see you this coming Thursday from 6 to 7. God bless you. Do not worry, guys. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
The light of his glory.